What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go, hour number three of our radio program, live in Phoenix, Arizona. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're broadcasting to you today live from Arizona Sports. Tomorrow and Friday, we'll be in a much bigger set on Radio Row, brought to you by our friends at Westwood One Sports. We'll have a bunch of guests stopping by the next 2 days to get you set for the men's Final Four that does feature the UConn Huskies going up against the Alabama Crimson Tide. And then also on the other side, you got the big fellas with Zach Edey of Purdue going up against DJ Burns. But today we are basically in like a little production closet since we had to get on out here a day earlier because there was no great flight. So Samter and I did make it out to Arizona and we did have to fight through some terrible weather. Samter was trying to be a practical joker at pretty much, I don't know, it was like 6:30, 7 in the morning when we're getting on this plane. And I've been up since 4 a.m. Eastern time. So when the show ends in about 55 minutes or so, I'm going to say we're going to eat our first full meal of the day. Like, I had a protein bar when I landed on the plane. I had some Sun chips and I also had some pretzels that they gave out. Or maybe it was some almonds. I don't even remember. And I did have a ginger ale. I don't know why. Whenever I get on a plane, I have a craving for a ginger ale. But Samter, at 6:30 in the morning, and we did not plan this. We knew we were going to be on the same flight. But Samter is in the seat in front of me. And I usually don't like a window seat. I prefer an aisle. But I thought, okay, this is a 4.5, 5-hour flight. It's early in the morning. I'd rather have the window seat to kind of lean on the window, put my neck pillow on, and go to sleep. So Samter is in the window seat right in front of me. Samter had a little bit of a brain fart. He thought he had an aisle seat. And then some guy walked up to him and was like, hey, you're in my seat. So Samter moves over to the window seat and he looks at me and he goes, I am going to lean my seat all the way back, which would not be nice because Samter, how tall are you exactly, would you say?
6'3".
So Samter is 6'3", please. See, I'm so concerned because you know why that happened there, Stu, right? Because I was concerned about barely hearing Samter's audio there because we have one microphone here in this little closet of a studio. So Samter could have said anything, and I wasn't really listening.
7'2".
And he says he's 6'3", and I'm like, oh, I could barely hear Samter. We don't have the audio. So, see, now I'm in a difficult spot. Because this is what happens when Samter is a jokester and he's a prankster. Now I'm in the position, Stu, to guess Samter's height. And I know Samter is going to be annoyed with any number that I throw out there.
It's like guessing a woman's weight. You
got to get closer to the microphone here. You know, we'll get close to one another, all right?
This is too close. It's the
why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Just the two of us, you and I.
No, it's like guessing, Lord help me, get me out of this room.
It's like guessing a woman's age or weight. There's no right answer. You're either too low, too high. Even if you get it right on, they're like, oh. So you trying to guess my height is going to be very interesting.
So since you said 6'3", and that's just a complete lie, do I then just go offensive here and be like, oh, you're 3'3"? Which clearly you're not. But does that kind of make me avoid having to answer this question? Can I dodge this question by charming people with my humor, maybe?
No. That 6'3 is way closer to my actual height than 3'3 is. So
I don't know about that.
See, now that was mean. On that note, I back away.
I'm going to say, Samter, stand up for a second. All righty.
Zach, you're taller than me almost sitting down.
Yeah, that is true. That's kind of sad. I'm going to say, Samter, 5'5"?
Close.
5'4"?
Closer.
So you think you're 5'6"?
No.
Below. Oh, okay. 5'3"?
No. I am 5'2¾".
What are you, 3?
Yeah.
5'2" and
those
3 quarters.
Those 3 quarters mean everything for someone my height.
Okay, so
on my dating profiles before I met my wife,
yes,
I was 5'3".
So you know how I wait. You said what 5.75?
5.75, but dating profile.
Okay.
5'3".
So 5.75. You know what this means? He's 5'1". That's what it means. Because whenever you got to go 5.75, I think that number is just embellished a little bit. So Excalibur in the YouTube chat says 5'9". Look at that. What do you got? Orthotics in those shoes?
5'9", baby. I love it.
So anyway, I am 6'4", and that's a legit 6'4". I've never had to lie about my height. Like sometimes on these dating apps, when I go out, people will say, you're like the first guy that actually was true about his height and didn't lie, because a lot of people say they're 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and they're actually not. I am a true 6'4". So the width of the seat is no problem, but the kind of length of the seat could be an issue at times. Now, my knees were like not fully pressed up on the seat, but they were pretty close. Like I did not have a lot of room. So if Samter, who was threatening to move back his seat, if he was going to move back his seat, he would have just been a jerk. Because Samter didn't need to move back his seat at all. He had all the room in the world. So Samter goes, take a picture. And I then flip Samter the bird. Because I was not thrilled with this threat of him trying to move back the seat. But little did Samter know, and this is where it could have been funny and also could have been very gross, I've never told Samter that I get motion sick. And Samter's sitting right in front of me. And because of how much rain and the wind, and a lot of people didn't even think we were going to take off, that was going on, the first hour of the flight was some of the worst turbulence I've ever experienced. And I tried to sleep through it, but at one moment, since I get motion sick, I grabbed the vomit, the barf bag, let's just say. And I thought I was going to barf. And I was like, I really hope if I do have to barf that it goes in the bag. Because not that this would have been right if it was some random person, but I did have a heightened awareness because it's someone I consider a friend and a coworker in Michael Samter that was sitting in front of me, even though you were being a little bit of a jackass and a bully, let me just say, when the plane was starting to take off. Now, thankfully, I did some deep breathing. I did some J.J. McCarthy meditation, and I did not barf on the plane because that would have just been absolutely terrible to deal with. But it was nice. No middle seat. No one was sitting in the middle of next to you, and no one was sitting in the middle next to me. So it ended up being an okay flight, all things considered. But you could see the photo of me flipping the bird to Samter as he's threatening to lean that seat and lean that baby all the way back on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, and also on Instagram, where Samter was straight flexing, at Zach Gelb as well.
I will say one thing. Zach, you may or may not have fallen asleep at some point.
Oh, did you take a picture?
No.
Okay.
But while you were asleep,
was I snoring?
No, you weren't actually. You were very quiet. You were very peaceful.
Did you give me a wet willy?
I didn't, but I may or may not have moved my seat back while you were sleeping to see if it would wake you up. And it did not. Had I actually moved my seat backwards, which I'm not saying I did or did not, but if I did, it didn't wake you up. So, very impressed.
Okay, that's fine. That was my biggest fear, actually. Not that I think, I sleep, when I sleep, I do anything crazy, but I did not want an unflattering photo of, my mouth wide open when I'm knocked out, only getting, 3 hours of sleep last night, to go on the internet. So that was the one thing I didn't want. And I thought Samter, I was going to wake up and I was going to get, just bombarded with text message after text message. Close your mouth when you sleep. You look like an idiot. What are you doing on that plane? So we had a good time getting out here to Phoenix. Anyway, when I was on the plane, I saw this list. And it was a list from actually former NFL defensive back Devin McCourty. And what Devin McCourty did, and this was, it was along with Tony Dungy. They picked the head coaches, active head coaches in the NFL, that you pick to win a game right now. So Tony Dungy's picks were Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans, Doug Peterson, Todd Bowles, and Devin McCourty's picks were Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin, Kyle Shanahan, Dan Campbell, and Mike McDaniel. So Stu, who looks like Mike McDaniel, do me a favor, cue me up a little NFL music. We're going to try to do this rapid fire here. We will do 4 picks each, and we will give you the coaches that we trust right now that are active coaches to win a game right now. I will start first, and I will take Andy Reid. That's a pretty easy one. Doesn't need an explanation. Stu, I'll let you go next.
All right, that's interesting. I will take John Harbaugh. I like him a lot. I think he's a good coach. He's won a Super Bowl. I take Harbaugh as my number two. John Harbaugh, not Jim.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, you need to clarify which Harbaugh. Samter, what do you got here? You give me two picks here because it's a snake draft, so we'll give you two picks.
All right, so I'm going to go with who they actually picked with the number two pick. He's been to a Super Bowl. Sean McVay will be my pick.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually going to waffle between him and John Harbaugh, so I'm glad Stu took him. So I'm going Sean McVay, number three. And I really want to take Kyle Shanahan, but he's had too many flops in big games. So I'm going to go with Dan Campbell. What I saw from him this playoffs. Now, granted, he had a choke job also against the 49ers, but
it's the first choke job, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go Dan Campbell. So Sean McVay, then Dan Campbell.
All righty. So far I take Andy Reid. Stu takes John Harbaugh. And then Samter double dips on Sean McVay and Dan Campbell. Stuart?
So Samter did not take the person I was considering taking before I took John Harbaugh. It's Mike Tomlin. I know he hasn't had a lot of success of late, but I feel like a lot of that's because he's either had an old Ben Roethlisberger or no quarterback at all. So I think with maybe a quarterback in Russell Wilson, we'll see. I trust him more than any of the coaches remaining.
So I think this coach at times is overrated because people talk about him like he is this all-time great coach and he's reinvented the game of football, but at least he's in the big games. He doesn't do well in the big games, but at least he gets there, and a lot of these other guys don't get to the big game. And the name of the question is, head coach you'd pick to win a game right now. It doesn't say win the Super Bowl. So this guy wins a lot of games. I will go with Kyle Shanahan. So I will take him off the board. I think that's a good value pick right there. So Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan for me. Then Stu has John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Samter has Sean McVay and Dan Campbell. So I'm up next. And you know who I'm going to take here? Guys have been in the NFL for a while. But when he was last in the league, he was a coach that in 4 years went to three NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. I am going to take Jim Harbaugh. Stu, next up.
So this next pick may be surprising, and I don't think what he has done since coming back to the NFL has been good this past year, but he does have a Super Bowl. I think if he has the right quarterback and the right players around him, he could win a big game. I will go Sean Payton for my next pick.
Ooh, see, I didn't even think of Sean Payton because I'm just so out on him now. All righty, Samter. See, there's two names that I still am contemplating. One I have to take over the other, but I hope you two don't leave this person off the list. That's all I'm going to say, because one affiliate in particular will be pretty mad if you leave this person off the list. But go ahead, Samter. You get two picks.
So I'm going to go with a guy. Now, he's been down also, and he just lost his top wide receiver. But he's won a lot of games in the playoffs, and the only time he loses is to the Chiefs. So I'm going Sean McDermott next. He's won some big, big games. And when he loses close ones to the Chiefs, who are maybe the best team of our generation.
Can I just ask this? What big game has Sean McDermott won in the postseason? That, like, he gets out of the first round, and the second round, it's a disaster. You know, the biggest one I could think of was the divisional round matchup against the Baltimore Ravens when Lamar Jackson got concussed and also threw the game away to Taron Johnson. But, okay, that's it. McDermott's a good coach. He's a solid coach. And I guess when you're on your third pick, it's not the end of the world, but I was surprised to hear that one.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you run into the Chiefs buzzsaw all the time, eventually, you know, you just lose to a better team, and there's not much you can do about that. So I'm waffling between two guys. I love Mike McDaniel. I love him. But his only playoff experience has been an utter disappointment so far. So I'm going to go with a guy who...
Well, actually, just to correct you on that, good, then bad. Because when he was hitting the G-pen on the sideline up against the Bills, they didn't win the game, but they gave a competitive effort with Skylar Thompson at quarterback. But then the following year, yeah, that offense didn't show up in Kansas City. Okay, so go ahead.
So he's 0-2.
Wait. You didn't go McDaniel.
I'm not going McDaniel.
Oh, okay. Right.
I'm not going McDaniel. So the guy I'm going to go with is a guy, he burst onto the scene this year. He won a playoff game this year. He just added a top-level wide receiver. He's got the best young quarterback in the NFL. I'm going D'Amico Ryans. I have a lot of faith in Mr. D'Amico Ryans.
All righty. There's three coaches that I think it's a little problematic that they have not been selected yet. But anyway, what do you got, Stu? Go ahead.
Yeah, there are a few here that I'm kind of waffling between. I'll go Doug Peterson. I know this year wasn't that good, but you know he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. I think he can get it done. There's a couple other names here. Maybe I'll kick myself for not taking them, but I think Doug Peterson can win a big game, so I'll go him.
All righty. Let me go through the full list here. Doug Peterson was one I was thinking of. He had to be on the list because he won a Super Bowl, and he won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles as his quarterback. The name I was talking about, which I can't take this name because there's another coach that's better, but I'm surprised that no one has taken Matt LaFleur. He has done a good job. AFC East, no egregious miss here. AFC North, there is no egregious miss here, besides one that I'll get to, and I'm going to make that selection. We took care of D'Amico Ryans. We took care of Doug Peterson. The AFC West, I was a little surprised Sean Payton gets on the list, but I understand the past history, and he didn't like Russell Wilson. Can't go Sirianni right now. Can't go Mike McCarthy, so I'm good with that. We got Campbell covered. You know, you look around. Here's the name that I think has to be on the list. The guy that has to be on the list right now is Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski, I know he's only won one playoff game, but he got Baker Mayfield to double-digit wins. And then without a quarterback this year, Joe Flacco comes off the couch, double-digit wins again. So I take Stefanski. I know a lot of Packers fans are going to be upset that Matt LaFleur is not on the list. So let's just real quickly compare and contrast when we take a glance at their list compared to our list. For Tony Dungy, it was Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans, Doug Peterson, Todd Bowles. None of us did take Todd Bowles. And for Devin McCourty, it was Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin, Kyle Shanahan, Dan Campbell, and Mike McDaniel. None of us did take Mike McDaniel. So my selections were Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, Jim Harbaugh, Kevin Stefanski, head coaches you pick to win a game right now. Samter goes with Sean McVay, Dan Campbell, Sean McDermott, and D'Amico Ryans. And Stu takes John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, Sean Payton, and Doug Peterson. I like Stu's list a lot. I think Stu has a really solid list, if I may say so myself. I thought if you want me to give an objective opinion there. Stu, you may have won this exercise potentially. So,
all right, I'll take it.
We'll give you 10 Odyssey coins, all right? Bart Winkler is going to join us next. Winkler Wednesdays. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's a battle for CBS Sports Radio. Sack.
Lethargic. Putrid. Pathetic. Quitters. They're quitters. What a joke.
Bart.
Something fun to talk about? That's what we do here. It's like, hey, guys, it's like we're just hanging out at a bar talking sports.
It's time for Winkler Wednesday. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Time to talk to my pal, Bart Winkler, the host of the Bart Winkler Show right here on many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, you can catch our show streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio if you want to see Bart and I chop it up every Wednesday. But you can listen to Bart Monday through Fridays from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Bart, I would ask you how you're doing, but I know you are a massive Milwaukee Brewers fan, and the hope and the dream of them going 162-0 this year is now over, as you did attend the ball game today, and the Brewers did suffer their first loss on the season, 7-3 and an L to the Minnesota Twins. So how you doing otherwise than that?
Very upset, almost canceled on you, but thought I would rise through. I wanted to go today because I missed opening day. I've been to, I think, 10 straight opening days, but I missed opening day. But I also like going to the day after opening day because there's a lot less people that go.
And it's the real fans.
yeah, it's the thrill of the game, but shorter lines. It's easier to get places. There's more like leg room. I don't ever want to go back, ever want to go back to these days. But when things started opening up after COVID, like I went to a lot of games because it was kind of cool.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say when you were unemployed, you also went to a lot of games too. That's what I thought you were traveling down that road.
Well, I don't want to go back to those days either. Yeah. my God. My God.
Yeah. I put the cart ahead of the horse right there on that one. So anyway, let me ask you about the stadium. You know, you took me once to that stadium, but it wasn't when the stadium was open for fans to kind of go in.
I took you to see the team store. Yeah,
pretty much. You gave me a private tour. It was very nice when I did spend time with you in Milwaukee. But now when you go to the Mets stadium at Citi Field, the food, it's like gourmet ballpark food. Like I always thought the cheesesteak was really good, the filet mignon cheesesteak. But now they have Adam Richman, Man versus Food, having a burger there. They have a rainbow cookie stuffed in an egg roll. I just think at Citi Field, which supposedly is the best ballpark food, according to Darren Rovell, so can take that considering the source, but the food at Citi Field is usually good. But now it's not traditional ballpark food. Like there's something about having a hot dog at a baseball game and then trying something else. So how is the food at the ballpark in Milwaukee?
There's a lot of updated options similar to Citi Field. I think if you're going to enjoy that kind of spread, you need to be in some sort of like club seating or box seating.
Yeah.
I had lunch there today. I got a brat and some fries where they poured nacho cheese on it. I mean, real rudimentary stuff that you could get at like a high school game. I mean,
why not cheese curds then at that rate?
I could have got cheese curds, but the booth that I went to didn't have them. And I don't like to jump around like concession. I like that. Gotcha. I get one thing at one place is what I like to do.
Gotcha. Now,
there's a lot of great options.
How much is a beer cost? Just wondering at the stadium.
Can I drink on work days? I did have one beer.
Well, you can have one beer. You don't work till 10 PM at night for crying out loud.
Yeah. I get the 8-hour window. I think a 16-ounce beer cost me like $13.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not good, but...
No, but, you know, you go to a baseball game in New York...
For a beer, cheese fries, and a brat, I paid $40.
Nah, that's not terrible.
I mean...
Not great.
It's a ballpark, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
By the way...
I didn't pay for parking because I park blocks away, so I don't have to pay for parking. Also, the Brewers tried a new system where you don't pay the attendant anymore. You have to like park your car and then scan a QR code that is on one of the light poles in the stadium. And it's very complicated. And they rolled this out for the first time on opening day and it did not work. So everybody ended up getting free parking yesterday if they went to opening day, which probably cost the Brewers, I don't know, 20,000 cars, $25 a pop. It probably cost us a third baseman next year. So that sucks.
Or your manager, Craig Counsell. Sorry. That was a little too soon.
That's all right. Good riddance.
Go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win today. Anyway, Bart Winkler is here with us. But I don't know if I could announce this, but when I get an email.
I don't know if you can, so don't.
No, I'm going to.
I don't know if you can.
Well, usually when I can't announce something, I get an email saying, don't talk about this on the air. But CBS Sports Radio, once again, is going to be at the draft. I'll be doing our show from Detroit Thursday and Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And Bart and JR are going to be teaming up to provide the live draft coverage of the first round and then also the second and third round spanning over Thursday and Friday. So we will actually see one another coming up at the end of the month of April for a little NFL draft in Detroit.
Well, and the first thing I immediately did was the Tigers do have a day game that Friday, so I am going to go to that also. And I'm looking forward to actually meeting some coworkers.
Yeah, right? Well, you've already met me, so you get to meet JR, you get to meet Hickey, you get to meet Samter. and a few others that are going to be heading out there. So it's definitely going to be fun.
That's me.
All righty. Let me get your thoughts on the Bills trade today. Stephon Diggs going to the Texans, and now the Bills are retooling. What's more interesting to you? Is it the Texans getting Stephon Diggs or now the future of the Buffalo Bills?
Ooh, good question. I'll steal that. I think initially my thoughts went to Houston because the Bills have kind of been stuck in this. They're so close, and if there were no Kansas City Chiefs, they may have a Super Bowl at this point. But there are the Kansas City Chiefs, and they don't. With the Texans, they're already going to be a darling. They're already going to be a very popular pick to – you know, if you don't want to take the Chiefs or I guess the Bills or whoever, you take the Texans. And there might be some good reason to do that. So my initial thought was, whoa, this is a big deal. But does the Stephon Diggs trade pack the same punch that it did a few years ago? Because one of the reasons the Bills didn't move on this year was there was a ball that went right through Stephon Diggs' hands. Now, if they can get him to, and maybe this will be good for him. We don't need you to be the number one. We got Nico Collins. He's got a great connection with CJ. They throw it to him 10 times a game. If you're good with that, so you got to take receivers.
But he won't be. You know he's all about his targets.
So then why make the trade? He's got to be. Otherwise, why make the trade?
You want to know why? Because the Texans.
He's not the number one. Nico's the number one.
Well, no, now Stephon Diggs is – they're going to cater to him and they're going to make him out to be the number one wide receiver. Nico Collins could have a better year. He had a better year last year, but they're going to tell Stephon Diggs he is the number one wide receiver. Here's the thing. The Texans, and you know it changes quickly in the NFL, they have gone from the outhouse to now infringing on being in the penthouse, and it all changes because of who the quarterback is. So you can make a move like this where I know people will say, oh, it's a 2025 second-round pick. In all things considered, it's a low-risk, high-reward move. Like, if Stephon Diggs is a pain in the ass, if he's not going to be a team player, if he's going to be such a malcontent and not produce on the field, you just get rid of him. And you still have a team that was in the second round of the playoffs a year ago with a first-year quarterback. And not only that, the biggest move they made this offseason was bringing in Danielle Hunter. That's the most underrated move this offseason. That may be one of the best offseason moves this year, because you team him up with Will Anderson, and that's a great 1-2 punch on the defensive side of the ball. So this is a low-risk, high-reward move, in my opinion.
I still think Joe Mixon's got a lot left in the tank, and I at least think he's a better option than what they had last year in Singletary and Pierce, so add that to it. It's tough for wide receivers, because wide receivers, I understand how they become divas. I do understand that, and we always use that specific word, but they're so talented, and sometimes they're the best players on the field. But to ever get the ball, you need the quarterback to do his job. You need the pass protection to do their job. You need the offensive line to do their job. And then you need to do your job also. There's so many routes they must run where they are open, and for some reason they don't get the ball. So you're out there for 80 plays a game. You only get like 7 cracks at it. I get how they get frustrated. But you can't – it's really hard. If you're going to bring in Stephon Diggs and try to massage his ego, I don't know, but say that he's the number one guy, I don't think that that's going to work. He's the number two guy. Nico's the number one guy. If you're going to have Stephon be a pretend number one even, like, that's not going to work. I don't think it'll work. He's got to be the number two. Maybe he'll flourish in that role, but then can he? He's so used to being the number one. I don't know. It's very interesting. At first, I was shocked and like, whoa, Houston, this is big time move. And then I thought, is this going to work? I mean, the Bills obviously got rid of him for a reason. Now, I don't know. Who's the receiver there? Khalil Shakir? Ooh, I have him in a dynasty league. Hell yeah.
They're going to move up in the draft. They're 28. You know that Brandon Bean is aggressive. He's not afraid to kind of be a little bit like Les Snead and say, bleep those draft picks. They're going to go get a top 15 pick in this draft and go get one of these wide receivers. That's what I think they're going to do.
Well, it's going to be fun to react to it live in Detroit, Zach.
Yeah, it is. I'm telling you, those draft shows, I've done them for a while, doing the live draft coverage. But now with the new time slot, they're not going to have me do both. Those you could see some big moves. I remember the AJ Brown trade a few years ago, and I nailed the prediction last year. I said, oh, maybe the Texans going to move back up after taking Stroud too and go get Will Anderson in at three. Okay, before we let you run, Bart Winkler, I have a question that I think you'll like and then a question that you will hate. So let me ask you the question that I think you will like first. I believe the three best teams in the AFC right now are the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Texans. But let's say we take the Texans out of the mix, and it's the Chiefs and the Bengals, and we're trying to figure out who that third team is, and then you can't say the Texans. Who do you believe is the third best team right now on the third day of April in the year of 2024 as we get set for the football season just in the AFC?
I would say Baltimore is top two, at least. Maybe one.
Wait. How could you say just for the third spot, you're saying?
I know I'm putting Baltimore ahead of Cincinnati.
You can't put them ahead of the Chiefs, though.
I don't know. Maybe I can. I really like the Derrick Henry move.
Yeah, but in the AFC Championship game, the Ravens just lost to the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, that was a mistake. We're looking ahead now. I'm looking ahead.
Okay.
I'm trying to look ahead.
See, I'm going to ask you a question now that you're not going to like, because I know how much you despise this person. And Bart is not a fan of Aaron Rodgers. Let's just call it what it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. Here's my poll question today, which I'm going to answer on the other side of the break, but I want you to answer it right now. Will the Jets win the AFC East this season? Yes, no, and the Dolphins will, or no, and the Bills will?
Can I answer that in a non-biased way? Because the Jets have gotten better. I will say the Dolphins will.
Can I just can I be the translator for you and what Bart really wants to say? Bart really wants to say he knows he should take the Jets here, but he despises Aaron Rodgers, so he will just pick the Dolphins and he doesn't actually believe the Dolphins.
You are correct. that is a perfect translation.
You are Shohei Ohtani. I'm Ipe Mizuhara. We just don't have any of the gambling issues.
Well, let's not be so clear about that either.
All right.
I'm
Bart
already
Winkler.
Having a rough day in MLB, so. I got to rebound before tonight.
All right. You can catch Bart at 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time with David Shepard tonight on many of these same CBS Sports radio stations. Bart, thank you as always.
Thank you, guys.
All righty. There he is, Bart Winkler. Man, he went from loving Rodgers to then the last 3 years can't stand Rodgers. And now here we are where you won't even pick Rodgers to win the AFC East. We will take a break. We'll come on back. I'll answer that poll question. Will the Jets win the AFC East this season? The early returns, yes, 27.2%. No, and the Dolphins will, 35.9%. And no one, the Bills will, 37%. So the Bills, according to our poll question, still the favorite to win the AFC East. Let's send it back to New York City. Standing by with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
The swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.